Hey, I'm Terry Molinaro, and I believe that we as the body of Christ are here for such a time as this. I love to say this, blessed to be a blessing, that we are called to be a light. And look, friends, if we don't do it, if we aren't the light, who's gonna be the light? The body of Christ has always been a house of action. And hey, who says we can't have some fun along the way?
Terry, it's Ryan Seacrest. You're in broadcast. I'm trying to be in broadcast. But there's something in common. Good luck to you. Seacrest out.
This is the Church Acts Podcast. Today, I have something very important to talk with you about, so I'm glad that you are here. I don't believe it's an accident, and I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will open up your ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying through this, not just what Terry Molinaro is saying through this, and that the Holy Spirit would give me the ability to communicate it clearly. That's how important I really believe that this podcast and this message is. So there are verses that we quote and repeat to ourselves. Sometimes we say them just over and over and over again because in our minds we believe that if we, you know, keep saying it, maybe eventually one day we're going to believe those words, and therefore those words, as a result of believing them, will become our reality. I'm almost nervous to say this, but I think that may be a lie that we have been believing. Now, words do have power. But you can sit in a jail cell and repeat to yourself that you're free, you're free, you're free. But unless someone or something comes to unlock and open those doors, you're still going to be in the cell no matter how many times you decided to repeat to yourself that you were free, right? That's what has been happening in our minds. It's a partial truth. Yes, words do have power, but when we are enslaved in the first place, it's hard for those words to activate our faith because our authority has been given away or maybe even taken. And I think that this truth has been hidden from a lot of us. And I don't know if it's like passed down tradition or something like that, but then this is where you get into that weird subsect of Christianity that I think so many good intending Christians fall into, where it's like, okay, I'm just going to repeat these things to myself. I'm going to say these words, but then why isn't my situation not changing? Right? You know, I do not have a spirit of fear, right? But then why am I feeling like anxiety or whatever it might be? And I've seen this confusion and this disconnect on so many people. And what can happen if people do not see progress after a while is they just assume to themselves, you know what? I guess it just doesn't work. I guess this isn't for me. I guess this is just my lot in life. And I've seen so many people then falsely believing this and then fall into different temptations and lies and then eventually just throw up their hands and say, you know what? I guess I was wrong all along. And then they just walk away, right? I think this also kind of ties into the whole deconstructionalism or whatever it's called in the church, right? Because people haven't actually experienced it. So they're just taking people's words, and people are not perfect. And then they look at those people, they see how they messed up, and, you know, it just kind of cascades from there. As I said, this episode is going to be one that you'll really have to just stop and think about. So I encourage you to do so. Let's talk about a few verses that we quote and repeat to ourselves to kick it off. So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or Romans 8 verse 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. People say it like this, you know, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Then you have passages like John 14 verses 12 through 14, where Jesus goes, hey, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So that is John 14, verses 12 through 14. So here we have this disconnect. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. God, you said that we will do greater things than you ever did. And then we look at our lives, and we don't see these things coming to pass. And we don't actually feel these things, and therefore we do not believe these things. So here we have a disconnect. Do you feel more than a conqueror in your life right now? Or do you feel conquered? Do you feel like you can do all things with God's help? And I would say sometimes you might, but is that just an emotional response to maybe like an emotional high, or you being like, I hate to even use the word stimulated, but like, you know, you're listening to a worship song or something good happens and you just feel on top of the world. So see, you can maybe say it that I can do all things with God's help, you know, through Christ who strengthens me. But usually that is actually just affirming an emotion, not a deep rooted belief that you can indeed do all things with God's help. From what I've seen if people were honest, that would be treated less than God's word, more like an inspirational slogan. The whole, you know, we can do all things through Christ's strength, it's me. It's just kind of like Nike's just do it. And then we wonder why we repeat these things to ourselves and nothing necessarily changes. I've been seeing this for a long time and feeling it even myself. It was hard to put my finger on it, but the more that we are either choosing or allowing God to be taken out of our days and our lives and our workplaces and our thoughts and our schools for that matter, the more that people seem to lose their color, the more gray people seem to be getting to me, overwhelmed by, you know, stresses, consumed by fear and doubt and worry, filled with passions for the world, and even filled with the passion for sin. And I hate to say it, but these are things that I've seen within the church and within my personal circles, and to an extent, things that I have been facing myself. It's like, on one hand, I know that something isn't right, but on the other, I don't know how to explain what isn't right and really what to do about it. But I'm starting to piece it together. Yes, we need to invite the Holy Spirit into our days. And yes, we need to invite the Holy Spirit into our workplaces and schools. And again, by the way, the rules might state that you can't pray. You know, I remember when I was younger, like we said the Lord's Prayer in school, like every single day. Now, are you kidding me? That's like so far away from being reality. But just because as a whole, the institution can't pray, listen, schools and workplaces do not decide what you choose to do and say and pray and think to yourself. So we do need to do these things, but there is something else that we need to consider that started back at the very beginning of man. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 10. I'm going to read it. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Then when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Okay. So you have the account right there that is very easy to miss. What happened here that was so profound? The way that a lot of people teach this is, okay, so men and women, they get tempted by the talking snake, they eat the fruit, God isn't happy, end of story. But something more insidious actually happened here. See, God in the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1 verse 28 said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." God, the creator of all, at the very beginning of the account, gave his divine authority to man for over the earth. That is what the enemy desired so much, right? So he had a plan to deceive the woman, thinking that the woman could, you know, get to the man with whom the authority was actually delegated to. Notice the serpent spoke to Eve first because she had communicated knowledge from Adam. See, God didn't tell Eve directly. He told Adam, who then told Eve. So the enemy was able to use doubt and twist things to get to Eve. Eve said that it was desirable. She saw that, so she ate. Then Adam, seeing Eve eating, also gave into the enemy's master plan, going, "See, nothing happened when Eve ate, so everything seemed all right." It was when Adam, who actually had the place of authority, ate, that the authority was then transferred. In that moment, the enemy's master plan worked. The authority that God gave to man was transferred to Lucifer. That's why God couldn't just take the authority back. It had to be a man that would do it, which is what makes the story of Jesus so incredible. See, he was born of a virgin, being 100% man, but also 100% God. So he was free from the curse. If this all seems a little too out there for you, consider when the devil was trying to tempt Jesus. Look what the devil says in Matthew 4, verse 8. "Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." So if you notice that, "all this I will give to you, if you will bow down and worship me. See, the devil knew what was going on. He knew that Jesus, was like humanity's Hail Mary, essentially. If Jesus would bow down, he would have been enslaved to sin for eternity. We would have been enslaved to sin for eternity, rather. Also notice how the devil said, all this I will give you, talking about all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Well, how could he say that? Once again, when Adam transgressed the authority that was given to the devil, but I do have good news for you. The ultimate setup happened. So when Jesus came, 100% God, 100% man, when he died, he took upon himself all the shame, all the sin, all the sickness, all the disease, all of it forever as the ultimate sacrifice to make atonement. But not just that, he then proceeded, and this is what I want to focus on, to take back by force the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And now here's where we come in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, hey, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What a statement. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. It's no longer Lucifer's. It is mine. And then Jesus looks at the disciples, but speaks to all who would serve him in the future, even including, you know, us today, and goes, hey, go therefore. I have the authority. Now go. I give it to you. For very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now stop. If the enemy can't have the authority over all mankind again, and you know what? We can even back this up a little bit further to go to the very beginning. What did the enemy try to do? He tried to exalt himself over the highest position in authority, which is God's position. He was cast down to the earth. So what did he try to do? He tried to take authority over all mankind, and he got it, but then Jesus took it back. So if the enemy can't have the authority over all mankind again, because in order to do that, he would literally have to dispossess the Lord, which will never happen, and he knows that, what would be plan B? Plan B is and has been for thousands of years to dispossess the authority that has therefore legally been delegated and given to the body of Christ. Because if he can do that in your life, the enemy can strip you of your God-given place and authority. And without that authority, you will have what I've been seeing a lot recently. And that's the church looking more like the Walking Dead instead of the Church of Jesus Christ. Listen, this is the part of the podcast where I would love to give you a solution that would fix everything for you and bring perfect clarity into your specific situations, your specific circumstances. But for now, I can only share what was taught to me. We give up our place of authority in a couple of ways. The first is through transgression, placing ourselves once again under the control of the enemy when we choose to partner with his kingdom, which should be obvious, but apparently it's not. The second is through intimidation. If the enemy can intimidate us, it will cause the gifts that God has placed in us to go dormant. Have you ever known that you needed to do something? You knew it was in your heart to do, and that God was with you in it. But no matter how hard you tried, you just couldn't break through to the other side of the situation, you know, or for whatever reason, you felt like you could not complete it. I'll tell you right now, just need a drink of water. With full transparency, I've felt that many times, but it wasn't until recently that I realized that every single time I felt that heaviness come on me was when I was trying to do what God had called me to do and advance what I was feeling led to advance. See, I never felt heaviness on me when I was watching my favorite TV show, hanging out with my friends. It was when I went to advance the kingdom and the cause that I was met with opposition. And my question, is that a coincidence? And the answer is, of course not. I'm going to be transparent with you. I'm not saying thus says the Lord on this one, but there was one time, and for years, as I was trying to do something I knew God had called me to, I was just trying and trying and trying. It was so impossibly hard that whenever I would try and do this thing, my brain, it was almost like I had like brain fog. And I was like, I have no idea why this is, but as soon as I try to sit down and do this thing, it's like I can't concentrate. So I keep pushing and I keep working through it. Not really, I believe, understanding what was actually happening. But anyway, so finally I was able to accomplish it. after I did, I went on to do the next thing, and I was met with the same type of opposition. And you know what I think? And I know that some people might think this is a bit of an extreme view, but I want you to hear me. I think that in my personal circumstance, that the enemy in his cunning allowed me the room to accomplish that one goal and succeed through my extreme hard work so that I would develop the false narrative that it's by pushing and by hard work alone that things can get done. So I wouldn't stop and actually analyze and realize and deal with what has really been happening in so many different areas of my life and potentially yours as well. This is the question I have to ask myself, and I hope you ask yourself too. By the way, I know that for some of you, you probably are too early in your walk to really grasp what I'm saying, but hopefully you'll find this podcast when you need to, right? Okay, here's the question. Where did I delegate and give my authority away to the kingdom of darkness? And what do I need to do to get it back? When did I give it away and how do I get it back? Because as long as our authority has been stripped and taken away or given away, we will not rise up and overcome or accomplish what we have set out to accomplish. There are so many people today that think it's their fault, that they aren't good enough, that God doesn't see them, that the good life, whatever that means, and that God's promises and his word are only for other people, that the joy of the Lord is some people's strength, but not theirs. Little do they know that they are underneath darkness, and that's why they are experiencing the symptoms of darkness, even in the forms of confusion and the lack of hope, because you delegated your authority and you gave permission for things to step into the gap. But today, I pray that you would really lean in and listen and think about what I've said, because there is hope and there is freedom in that. Remember who it is that you serve. Here's what he said, right? This is the person that you choose to serve if you acknowledge yourself as a Christian. Jesus, Commander in Chief, this is your president, right? Says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Remember this, you are not alone. You've been deceived into submission. You've been robbed of your authority potentially. But remember, it is not by your strength or wisdom or wit or intellect or whatever that you'll get it back. For with God, nothing is impossible. So therefore, it is with God. So I just pray for strength. You know, I even pray for wisdom. I pray for clarity. I just speak clarity over you and your household and over your mind, that God would show you how to take back your authority. If it's shown to me, of course, you know this, I'll 100% be sharing it on the podcast as I'm led. But now it's your turn with that information to think about these things. You know, do the work, be a man, and be a woman of action. God bless.